Open your Bibles now, please, to John chapter 12. John, the 12th chapter in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1132. We'll start with the 23rd verse, taking note of the 24th, the text verse, and read through verse 28. Verses 23 through 28. And let's please read the verses responsibly. May we stand, please. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." And let's pray. Lord, now we ask for thy help, thy closeness during this hour. We need Holy Spirit power, anointed ears for listening. And of course, we pray for our preacher, for thy closeness and power upon him. In Jesus' name, amen.
There's an old, old story that you have heard and read time and time again, but it serves as a launch for our message tonight. For a third of a century, I was a close personal friend of Brother Lester Roloff. Close enough to where I, when he died, I was asked to preach his funeral sermon and did so. Back yonder years ago, when he and I were young men, we suffered the same fate, or we enjoyed the same good thing or event to happen to us. I recall when he came to the place to where he could no longer be belong to the Southern Baptist Convention, and I'm not spending my life trying to expose the Southern Baptist Convention. They're doing a good enough job of that themselves. But I, Brother Lester, there was a building, and I'm getting... When you get old, there's many things happen to you. You have a hard time not rambling and rambling and rambling. And I'd like to say I try not to, but I don't. I enjoy it, so I do it all I want to do it. And they had a building that the Texas Baptist Convention owned in Corpus Christi, Texas. And as the story goes, the Texas Baptist Convention leased a part of that building to a liquor store. And Brother Roloff did not look with favor on that endeavor. In fact, he felt rather negative about it. And he was never one to be able to suppress his negativism. In fact, he was very vociferous in his opposition to iniquity. And all of that, he could scream against the devil and sin, too. And so he was on a radio station, KWBU in Corpus Christi. That's back when he was on one station. He had 15 listeners and said hello world every morning when he got on. Nobody knew him much outside Corpus Christi, Texas. Well, when the Texas Baptist also owned the radio station he was on. He decided to expose their leasing part of their building, a liquor store, and they decided that their station could get along without Brother Roloff. And I still remember when he was put off the station. By the way, God is still on his throne. And I live to see the day when the Southern Baptists couldn't handle the station anymore, and Lester bought it from him, and he owned the station later on. But, death can't keep anything alive. You can't, embalming fluid can make you look alive, but it can't make you alive. And so, anyway, I remember I turned the broadcast on, his broadcast on, the last week he was on. And he said, folks, I don't know what to do. He said, don't know what I am. He said, the Baptists say I got too much for them. He said, Pentecostals say I ain't got enough for them. He was on the bottom. I picked up the phone and called him, encouraged him. We often call every Monday morning. I called him and encouraged him. And then a few months later, I decided that I was not going to be bossed by denominational bosses either. And so I decided not to go back into the association until they took back what they said about me. What they said about me was, get out. And so I had no idea that'd go over that well. I'd use it years ago if I'd known it. But hey, Brother Ray said I did. And it's awful nice of me to amplify my critics' remarks. That's what you call real freedom of speech. It was a dark hour in my life, and all of a sudden I realized that I had to disassociate myself, not only my home church, but the college where I got my degree, because I could no longer support a school that would have a dance band on campus that would sing a song called Cigarettes, Whiskey, and Wild, Wild Women. I decided that I wouldn't send a dime to a seminary that didn't believe every word in this Bible. It's the Word of God. I decided that I would not support. By the way, if you do, you ought to quit it. I decided I would not support a school that had dances on campus, had pictures in yearbooks of dances, and had pictures of students with whiskey bottles and beer bottles on tables, and I decided I couldn't do it. Well, it was the darkest hour, I guess, up to that time of my life. And so I just thought it was all over. And Brother Lester called me the next morning and said, Brother Jack. And I said, what is it, Brother Roloff? He said, Brother Jack, you're dead, ain't you? And I said, yes, sir, Brother Lester, I'm dead. He said, welcome to the fraternity of the free. I never forget that. I said, thanks, loads. He said, Brother Jack. I said, what is it, Brother Lester? He said, you're dead, ain't you? And I said, yes, I told you that, I'm dead. He said, Brother Jack, ain't nobody ever got resurrected that didn't first die. And boy, you think that wasn't good news for me. I had passed the first test that qualified me for the resurrection. You know, that's exactly what the Savior's talking about here when he said, except a corn of wheat die, fall in the ground, it abideth alone. He's simply saying that unless that corn of wheat dies, it'll not be resurrected. No death, no plant. No burial, no fruit. No dying, no rising. You see, in that seed, in that little tenacious seed, is a great plant. And in that plant is a seed. And in that seed, there's a plant. And in that plant, there's a seed. And in that seed, there's a plant. And if you think I'm going all the way through eternity on that thing, you're mistaken. But you see, the truth is, if a seed continues to die and be buried, it is eternal. Never stops. A seed can sit on the shelf and it won't do a thing. But if that seed dies and is buried, it's eternal. For in that seed is a plant which has in it a seed, which has in it a plant, which has in it a seed, which has in it a plant, which has in it a seed, which has in it a plant. You know, I got to think it. Each plant is the same, and yet each plant is different. No two oak trees alike, and yet all oak trees are the same. No two rose bushes alike, and yet all rose bushes are the same. Now, I'm not sure this is true. This is Heilsology here. But it's worth thinking about. I wonder if maybe the glorified body in heaven may not be that way. You reckon maybe that we keep on dying to self in heaven? And you reckon maybe that every once in a while God just lets us not die the sense of death now, but sort of some kind of a death goes on so we can have a different glorified body that's a little prettier than the one we had before? I don't know. Don't say I preach that. But sounds good. I mean, the eternal life of a plant is wrapped up in the death of the seed. And the seed brings forth a plant that's like the other, but not like the other, which brings forth a seed that's like the other, but not like the other, that brings forth a plant which is like the other, but not like the other. And you know, herein is the great secret to life. In that little seed is great potential. Now listen to me. God has a potential for me. As Dr. Janney so well said in his messages, he said, young people, reach your potential. Don't just be average, or don't just be above average. You be all you can be. Reach your potential. Now, in this little seed is potential. But to reach that potential, the seed must die and be buried. In me, there is potential. But I, like the seed, cannot reach my potential unless I die and am buried. I can never reach it unless I do. And I must, him and Al, I must be resurrected to reach my potential. And if I'm resurrected, I must die. And the reason we don't live resurrected lives, we've never lived dying lives yet. We've never come to the place where the apostle said, I die daily. I mean, we crucify ourselves. We're crucified to compliments. We're crucified to criticism. We're crucified to hurt feelings. We're crucified to the world. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. And that little word, the little words, I am, are in the linear. I am crucified, and 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 I am being crucified, and I am crucified. Why? So I can rise and rise and rise and rise. And the reason your life is not resurrected is you have not died. And if there's a thing in this world that God's people need to do is to die. And if you don't die, you can't be raised from the dead. And if you don't live a resurrected life, you cannot be a reach your potential. Now, no need to have your feelings hurt anymore. No need for it. No need for it. No need for it. It's just silly. You don't have to. You can die. You can criticize the dead man all you want to. He won't fight you back. No way he'll do it. He won't. You cuss him and see what he does. He won't hit you. He's dead. He won't get his feelings hurt. He's dead. I long for the day. I long for the day when the membership of the First Baptist Church of Hammond will be a crucified membership. I get 25 to 50 notes a week from people who have their feelings hurt. There's no need for it. No need for it. Most of them are not mad at me. They get their feelings hurt at somebody else. And they want somebody to know about it. So I'm the guy that knows about it. But there's no need for it. The Bible said, great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing for offense shall offend them. The crucified man has no hurt feelings. He does not fight back. He does not talk back. He does not get angry. He has no plans for tomorrow. He's crucified. And if he's crucified, he's qualified for the resurrection. Let me illustrate. 25 years ago, I was a seed. Now, I have not yet become all that God has for me to become. And by the grace of God, I plan next year to be more what I ought to be and nearer my potential than I am this year. I'm pressing on the upward way, one of the greatest songs ever written. New heights I'm gaining every day. And by the way, if you're less than what you were last year, you're a backslider. And if you're no more than what you were last year, you're a detriment to the cause of Christ. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. And by the way, I'm not what I ought to be, but bless God, I'm not what it used to be either. And if you hang around, you'll find I'm not what I'm going to be someday either. Why? Because I want to reach my potential. I don't want to just be an average preacher. I don't want to just be an average pastor. I want to be all that God had for me in the little seed called Jack Hiles. And if I become all of the resurrected person God wants me to become, I've got to die. 25 years ago, I was a seed. 25 years ago, this great work was a seed. 25 years ago, this August 30th, I became pastor here. But I had not yet died in many ways. In the first place, I loved my native state. There's no way I can describe to you how hard it was for me to leave Texas. No way I can describe to you. There's no way I can describe how hard it was for me to leave Middle Road Baptist Church in Garland, Texas. And no way I could describe how hard it was to leave the city of Garland where I was hoping our kids could grow up. Not a beer joint, not a tavern in the city of Garland. Not one bit of legal liquor was sold in the city of Garland. It was as dry as the West Texas lands. And I came to Hammond, Indiana to pastor this church. Our family came for one reason. God led us. That's all. Didn't want to come, but God led us. Hated the thought of leaving Texas, but God led us. I was here, and I was a seed, and there was some potential there, but I was not dead. Now look around you. See this great work tonight. Look at this great crowd. Think of the 24,000 people that walked the aisle of this church for salvation last year alone. Think of the 8,000 people that were baptized in our baptistry last year alone, averaging over 7,000 a year, I guess, for the last 8 or 9 years. and nothing like it. Drive out and see our high school, and our junior high and our grade school. Drive out that miracle campus at Hiles Anderson College. See all the things that God has given us here. You know why? Because some of us had to die. I got on a plane and flew to Texas, Dallas. Got off the plane and entered a car and drove to the church I'd pastored. A church I loved at that time with all of my heart. The church where I thought I would stay for the rest of my life. I borrowed a key in the wee hours of the morning and went inside the church and knelt behind the pulpit. And I said, "Dear God, tonight I die for this church. And this church is dead to me. Tonight I bury this church." And I said, "Church, you're dead. I'm dying for you. I'm not going to keep warning you. I've got a people back in Hammond. And I've got a church back in Hammond. And being a preacher who's resurrected. But I can't be resurrected till I die." And I buried that church. And I went to the city limit sign in the wee hours of the morning. And I looked at that city limit sign and looked out over that little city there, 27,000 people. There's 160-some-odd thousand now. looked at that little city of 27,000 people, and I said, Garland, Texas, you're dead as far as I'm concerned. Dead! And I'm dying to you! I don't want you anymore! You don't belong to me! I've got a church up there in the city of Hammond, Indiana, and they need a resurrected preacher! And Hammond needs a resurrected man of God! And I cannot be what I ought to be till I am resurrected, and I can't be resurrected till I die! Oh, if I could just put this thing in your soul, die to your hometown, die to your dreams, die to your money, die to your ambition, die to your popularity, die to your pleasure, die to your hurt, die, die, die! You can't be resurrected. You die, and until you're resurrected, you'll never reach your potential. That little seed must be resurrected if it reaches its potential, and it cannot be resurrected until it dies and is buried. And God has a potential for each one of us, but there's no way in the world we can reach that potential until we live the resurrected life, and there's no way to live the resurrected life until we die. And as we go on the plane, I got on the plane the next morning. As that plane soared out of what Love Field Airport in those days, right in the center of North Dallas, I'd flown out of that airport hundreds and hundreds of times as we flew. We flew over the Oak Cliff section of Dallas, where I grew up, and then I flew over the skyline, and there was a Magnolia Building, the Republic Bank Building, the Southland Life Building. And then it flew over East Dallas along the Central Expressway. And there was a big shopping center where we'd traded. Then it flew over Garland. I looked down and saw the city where we'd lived for those 7 years, and a church we'd taken from a handful of people. One of the biggest churches at that time in the state of Texas. And I said to Texas, Texas, you're dead! You're dead! I'm not gonna let you live! I'm gonna die to you! And I mean this. When I landed at Midway Airport at the time, Chicago, and got off the ground, I was dead to Texas. I was dead to Garland. I was dead to my church in Texas. And I was alive, and from that moment to this, I'd rather be a Hoosier than a Texan. I mean that. I mean it. I know I'm a traitor to my native Texas. I know that. But I died, and you can die too! Paul said, I counted all things but dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And you will never know Him who is resurrected till you've been resurrected. And you will never walk with Him who is resurrected till you've died, because you can't be resurrected till you die. When the Apostle Paul said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. Did you get that? First, you've got to know the fellowship of His sufferings. Many a preacher will never amount to much because he never has suffered. You know why? Because he's never suffered. He's never fellowshiped with Jesus. Jesus can't say, yeah, I went through that. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find Him. And you'll know Him by the nail prints in His hands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find Him. And that I may know Him. And the reason you don't know Him is He's resurrected and you're not. He's dead and you're not. He died, you haven't. He rose, you didn't. You can't know Him like you ought to know Him. You can know Him as your Savior, but you'll never know Him blessed fellowship. And you'll never reach the potential that God has for you until you're resurrected. And you can't be resurrected until you die. And unless you, like the corn of wheat, fall on the ground, you will never reach your potential. You never will. Came back. The seed was planted. Seed was planted. Now, this church didn't take off the next week, but the seed was planted. I died. I died to Texas. I died to Garland. I died to Miller Road Baptist Church. I died! And then God's Holy Spirit germinated that seed. And then it began to, you could see a little sprout coming through the ground. And then victories. And then more victories. And then more victories. And there was an effort to reach 1,000 in Sunday school, which we'd never done. Average. We did. And then we shot for 1,500. And we did. And then we tried for 2,000 average. And we did. And then we tried to have the 6th largest Sunday school in the world in America. And we did. And then we shot for 5,000 average. And we did. And then we shot for 10,000, and we did. Why?
Because of resurrection, and resurrection comes because of death. And you sat there tonight with a critical spirit in your heart, and you're not going to reach your potential until you die to that critical spirit and die to that bitterness and die to those hurt feelings and die to that those grudges and die to your little tiffs and your arguments and die. You die only when you die. Can you be resurrected? And only when you're resurrected can you reach the potential that God has for you. See that? Right there? What is that? What is that? No, it's not. That seed. If you say that's a dollar bill, then you're right as man counts it. But you know what that is? That's probably $10,000 right there. In that seed. But it must be planted. Not planted in the safety deposit box. Right. Planted. Must die. You know when I have a great need, what I do? I don't stack these up. I give these away. Here's a fellow that's going to raise a crop. He goes down and buys some seed. What does he do? Put it in the bank? He gives it up. He gives it up. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And the reason you don't reap is you don't sow. Now listen, you reap when you give up a little, when you give up all of what you want more of, you reap. If a farmer says, I love this seed, it's my seed. Well, I'm not going to give it up. I'm going to keep it. It's my seed. Okay, put it in the barn, keep it there. But it'll never bring you a crop till you give it up. And you'll never get a crop of that till you give it up either. And brother, whenever I have a great need in my life, a supernatural need for money, I give what I've got away. That's exactly the way a farmer gets a crop. You bury it. It dies. Been a while since I've told this story, but it ought to be reminded of this church often. Nearly 10 years ago, I claimed at Capuchin Seminary out there for the campus of Hiles Anderson College. I didn't know how in the world we'd ever get it. We prayed the heart of the fathers open to us. And finally we agreed. I called and told them that in 18 months, we'd lease it for 18 months, and at the end of 18 months, we'd buy it for $2.5 million. I didn't have $2.5 million, $10. But I believe God's going to give us that campus in 18 months. About 12 days, so, before that campus was open, before the $2.5 million was due, we had $1 million, just about. We've got 2 weeks, or 10 days, 12 days, we lose it. We've got to have $1.5 million. We'd raised about $1 million. I didn't know where in the world we'd get any more money. We tried everything we could. And raised a little over $1 million. And then word came to me there's a college up in Michigan that had to have $85,000 that week or lose its campus. And I called a special meeting of our deacon board on Wednesday night before a service, and I said, men, it looks like we can't raise $2.5 million to save our campus. But I told this little truth here. Little truth, nothing. Giant truth. The way you get is give up what you have of what you want. You plant the seed. And I said, fellows, I'm recommending we plant some seed tonight. It's the only hope we got. It's like one fellow said, doctor said, fellow said, it's up to God now. He says, it come to that? That's up to God now. No place to get it. 12 days now. I shocked the boots off our deacons.
And I said, fellas, I'm recommending that we plant a crop tonight. I'm recommending we write a check for $85,000 and send it to that college up in Michigan. What's the name of that college? Forgotten. Gateway. Faithway. And I said, and one deacon stood up and said, Pastor, that doesn't make any sense. I said, does planting the crop make sense? Giving up the seed? I'll never forget. Mr. Walker, Vice President of Hoosier Bank. He's in heaven now. This building's named after him. He stood up and he said, Pastor, as far as I'm concerned, that has got to be the craziest idea I ever heard in my life. We're trying to get $2.5 million, we're $1.5 million short, and now you want to give $85,000 away. He said, that doesn't make any financial sense or banking sense at all. And then he began to cry, and he said, but preacher, if that's what you think we ought to do, I make a motion we do it. Then I startled the church. That was before prayer meeting. Came the servant, and the deacons recommended, we take $85,000, give it away. No, plant it. Seed. That seed, plant it. Plant it. You said, well, Brother Hines, what if you hadn't gotten the money? We'd have still saved the college. He said, I tried that. It didn't work. But look, if you don't have what you need, somebody else needs what you have. What you have will meet somebody's need. It won't meet yours. Plant it. Doesn't grow. At least their needs are met. You say, Brother Howell, that's just not natural. I know. It's supernatural. But it's the law of God as much as the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. And the reason, a lot of you people have not, you've not invested, you've not sown a crop. Oh, by the way, we wrote the check. I felt so lonely that night. Walked out of here, hardly anybody would speak to me. At least they didn't. But brother, we planted. And within 12 days, the old harvest came up. And a year ago, we finished paying off the mortgage, and tonight, Hiles Anderson College campus is debt-free, unencumbered by any mortgage whatsoever. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You must give up what you have if you want more of what you have. Let me give you another illustration. Many years ago, I started traveling around this country. I gave my holidays so other folks have holidays. I gave up time at home with our kids so others could have time at home with their kids. And I started traveling around this country and never dreamed of starting a college. Never dreamed of it. There wasn't one of my plans. I never even thought about it. God just knocked it down one day and said, do it! But I spent years and years going up and down this country. And I mean it when I say this. When I go up and down this country, I give myself everywhere I go. I mean that. I give myself everywhere I go. And then one day God said, I want you to start a college. You know what these hundreds and hundreds of students are tonight? They're my fruit. They're the fruit of the seed I planted all these years. And because I've gone, I've got thousands of preachers and millions of Christians across this country who love me and have confidence in me enough to send their most precious possession on earth, apart from salvation itself, to live here and get their training here. Why? Because it's harvest time. That's why. When I was a boy in Texas, Mom would say, son, we don't have anything to eat tonight. Go down at the railroad tracks and pick some mustard greens. Now, brother, as far as I'm concerned, if you've never eaten mustard greens, you have missed half of your life. If you ever want a delicacy, you get mustard greens. Go over to one of these stores that these folks have sense in. These black folks know how to eat. Used to be a little store down on Conkey Street owned by a black family. We ate from that store. They know how what to eat. You get you some mustard greens and clean them real good. Oh, they're just as good dirty. You get you some mustard greens and clean them real good. fry some bacon. And then you just take that bacon grease and pour it over those mustard greens, and you die happy. Will all the doctors please block your ears right now, especially Dr. Cal Streeter, who's the preventive medicine man. You'll die 5 years earlier, but I'll guarantee you, you'll live more while you're alive. And the good thing about that, you don't just eat it once. You belch it up and eat it again and again and again and again and again. Boy, that's good preaching, folks. Now, you don't think this illustrates anything, do you? And you're right. But I'm going to work it in. Listen to me. I'd go down there beside the railroad tracks on Frio Drive where the inner urban used to run between Dallas and Waco. Just growing wild, Stan. Manna from heaven. Mustard greens. I ate a bunch of them. I started turning black, and I quit. And, but you know, I used to say, Mama, who planted those mustard greens? She said, Son, nobody planted them. She said, the seed's in the air. Somebody has planted them in the air, has taken the seed, and the seed is in the air. And you know, all over our section of town, God had taken those mustard green seeds and blown them and caused them to fall on the ground so poor folks like us could stay alive. Did you know that's what it means in Psalm 126:6? He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, throwing precious seed, just throwing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his his sheaves with him. Dr. Walter Wilson says that, he used to say, in fact, he was an aged man about in heaven when he said this to me. He said, Dr. Allen, that means he that goeth forth and weepeth, having a leaky seed basket. But there's more to it than that. He that goeth forth and weepeth, scatter. The Bible talks about scattering precious seed. Scattering it. I'm 57 years old. I've been scattering money all over this nation for all these years. I've been scattering hours and life all over this nation all these years. And bless God, as an older man now, I'm reaping the harvest of it. Just running, just growing wild everywhere. Everywhere I go, I see a little wild preacher just going to town. He says to me, Brother Hiles, years ago, I went to hear you preach, and he said, one night you preached, and you don't know it, but God got into my soul, and God set my soul on fire, and God came in my life, and I know it. Listen, I was out the other night preaching for a fellow. He walked up to me, and he said, Dr. Hiles, you don't know this, but he said, you preached on the power of the Holy Spirit one night, years and years ago. One fellow said, I read your sermon in the Sword of the Lord on seeing him who's invisible. He said, my life was changed. I now run 2,000 or 3,000 in Sunday school. And all these years, I've been throwing the seed and throwing the seed, throwing the seed and throwing the seed. And now, blessed be God, the harvest is coming up all over this nation. Now, you say, Brother Hiles, I've been throwing some seed too, but the harvest hadn't come up. May not be harvest time yet. God decides when the harvest comes up. But I want to say something, brother. If the harvest never came up, if never a young preacher came to me and said, you changed my life years ago, if never a church came and said, Brother Hiles, this church is because of you, if never one, I'd still be glad I gave. The giving is reward enough. Then to see the fruit grow is more reward. And then to reap is the big bonus of all. But you've got to die. You've got to die. My mama has about been overcome by senility. If she were here, I wouldn't say this. The other day I was out to see her. She told my sister, she said, Earlene, she said, Jack loves me, doesn't he? Earlene said, yes, it does, Mother. She didn't know I was her son. She said, Earlene, don't leave us alone in the room together. And then she said, what if he asked me to marry him while he's here? You know what I think I miss the most? Is when I call from the airport on Monday morning, she never says, take care of yourself. She never says, son, did you get enough sleep last night? She never says, are you well? She never says, tell the pilot to be careful as he flies. All that's over now. She doesn't know that to say anymore. But she's happy. Because folks love her. And folks care for her. And you know why she's happy? Because she spent a lifetime sowing. Remember when we used to have tramps? Remember you used to call them tramps? They came by wanting food. You call them hippies now. It's called tramps. And if there's a house where they got food, they put an X out on the curb so the next tramp would know where to stop. Our house curb looked like a tic-tac-toe place. You know why? Listen carefully now. Every time anybody would knock on the door, by the way, those days, the tramps knocked on the back door. Now most of them use food stamps. I didn't say all of them do. If you use food stamps, not always wrong. But anyway, knock on the back door. My mama would go lock the screen. She'd say, step back about 20 feet, sir. Because she was always scared. Step back 20 feet. She'd say, what do you want? He said, what? Ma'am? Could I have a meal? Mama would say, you see that wood back there? Yes, ma'am. You move it over there. And I'll give you something to eat. She made him work for it. Spunky little rascal. And they'd move it. And Mama would go take food we didn't have. She'd say, I get back 20 feet or so. And she'd open the screen, set the food on the little back porch, lock the screen, and come and get it. And then I can hear what she always said was this. As she turned away, she always said this. She said, that's, and mothers, you finish this for me. As she turned away and left the food on the back porch, now you finish this. Let me wait just a second because I want you to hear me now. My mama said, son, I fed the fella because he is, finish it, somebody's boy. And then she'd say, son, someday you may be hungry and I want somebody to feed my boy. And she said, I feel like if I feed somebody's boy now, somebody will feed my boy someday. What was she doing? She's planting a seed. Dying. Falling in the ground. Why? So someday, her boy could reap. Isn't this funny? Everywhere I go, oh, give me food. I love it. So do you. So do you. So do you. And so do you. You really love it, don't you? Boy, your mom must have given an awful lot of food to Pat. Now, wait a minute. Isn't that funny? I don't care where I go. Food. One young lady last week gave me 24 Reese's peanut butter cups in California. You say, what did you do with them? Do I look stupid? I got me a diet cola so I wouldn't gain any weight and drank it. You've been there, haven't you? Now, I drank one diet cola for every Reese's peanut butter cup, sort of, it balanced it out. I think I parked in front of your house then. But you know, many a night, when I go back to my room in some motel, carrying enough food for 10 people for a week. I sit down, look at all that food given me, and I realize why I got it. It's Mama's harvest. I'm somebody's boy. And she kept planting and planting and planting. And now her son is harvesting, and so is she. Except the corn of wheat dies. Hold your hand still. The choir is being bothered by it. Except the corn of wheat die and fall on the ground. I'm closing. God has a potential for your life. You are a seed. And in you, as a seed, there is unlimited potential. But you'll never know it until you get resurrected. You compare a little old seed, green bean seed, to a big mess of green beans. Just that same comparison in a life. The average person here is as much different from what he could be as a green bean seed is from a mess of green beans. You're not near what you could be. And the reason is, you've never been resurrected. And the reason you've never been resurrected, you've never died. You looking at a fellow tonight has no reason in this world to preach in this great crowd of people. None. None at all. None. I don't have the brain for it. I don't have the looks for it. Don't have the health for it. Don't have the voice for it. None. God knows this is true. I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. I know of a fact what God can do with one little seed that dies and falls in the ground. Our Heavenly Father, bless